is EM Sports Talk with your host, Eric Melton.
Welcome back to another episode of EM Sports Talk, episode 23. And man, oh man, oh man, a lot has happened. The NFL, the Jets won their first game. How that's a win-lose situation for them. We talked the college football system that's horrendous and needs to be fixed immediately. Just a lot to talk about today. NBA starts, what, on the 22nd, which is tomorrow. Tomorrow night, Pittsburgh plays the Bengals tonight. My Bengals, we're going to get blown out, but we're going to talk a little bit about that game. And also, I'm recording this on a Monday night, so it's 8 o'clock right now. Just a lot to talk about because yesterday it was really good games on for college championship Saturday, college football, and the NFL. So we're going to get into all that. EM Sports Talk, episode 23, roll the music. Welcome back to episode 23 of EM Sports Talk. I'm your host, Eric Melton. And today we have a good episode, man, because a lot has happened over these last couple weeks and days in sports. And most importantly, let's start with the college football scenario right now, which we're going to talk about the college football system to start off this episode. And I'm not happy with it. I'm not. I haven't been happy with it all season. Probably wouldn't never be happy with it because all year they've just been given the benefit of the doubt to Ohio State. Well, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Alabama deserve it. But Ohio State only played 6 games. Cincinnati's undefeated. Coastal Carolina haven't been really getting too much love in the rankings. They're undefeated. And just a shame that they created that system. But it's sad to say that we'll never see Cincinnati compete for the national championship or a Coastal Carolina. It's all because of the system. It's not built for those group of 5 teams, which is the American Athletic, the big, the Sun Belt, the MAC, Conference USA, and I think I'm missing what I'm missing. I'm missing one, but it's just, Mountain West. It's just not fair, you know. So I think they got to fix that. I think if you're going to have a system where everyone should have a fair shot, it should be the Power 5 have a national championship game and the Group of 5 have a national championship game. That's how it should be. And split the rankings up just like that. You know, and then it will be fair to me because you'll never see a Cincinnati, Coastal Carolina, Liberty, none of those schools playing for, you know, a national championship. Just won't see it. It's just weird, you know, but every year you've seen Alabama, Clemson, and national championship, not every year, but Alabama missed it once, Clemson missed it once, to play each other for the national championship or to even get in the playoffs. It's either Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson is damn near in it every year. I don't think it's fair. I think Cincinnati should be the fourth. I thought they were the fourth best team. In my opinion, Ohio State should have missed it, but, you know, you know, they got in, and now you get rewarded to play against Trevor Lawrence, probably the second hottest team in college right now behind Alabama, who's on a roll right now. And congratulations to Notre Dame. You're getting mollywopped against Clemson. And now you got to play Alabama. And if you watch that SEC championship game Saturday like millions of other people did, like I did, Alabama offense looks scary. I don't think anybody wants to play them. I surely wouldn't want to play Alabama. If you was like, hey, Brian Kelly, congratulations on being runner-up in ACC. You have to go to Texas to play Alabama, 4 o'clock, New Year's Day. I would be like, fuck. You know, I mean, that team is absolutely loaded. And Mac Jones was just spreading the ball. You get a touchdown. You get a touchdown. Hold up. Hand it off to Najee. You get a touchdown. I mean, it was just an offensive fest for both sides of the ball. Alabama was dominating this game, don't get me wrong, in the beginning, and I was like, damn, it looked like I was right leaning towards a blowout. But Florida figured it out quickly. They got a couple breaks, got back into the game, but they were just playing from behind the whole game, and they could never get back in it. They can never get back in it. And Alabama defense had that big stop on the last play of the game. You know, they were trying to set up a Hail Mary, and Kyle Trask got mollywopped. He got hurt. He looked kind of hurt, but the game was over. He was crying after the game. Yeah, that's not a good way to go out. It was your last game in, you know, college. You lose in the SEC championship game. He gave it his all, though. I could say Kyle Trask and Mac Jones really shocked me. Not really Mac Jones, because he's been, and Kyle Trask, they've both been balling all year. But we haven't seen that Alabama versus Florida game last year. So this was a great duel between these two quarterbacks who, in my opinion, both of them can either go day one or day two in the NFL draft, which could be steals. These guys are franchise caliber players. And I really got high hopes. Really got high hopes for both of these guys in the NFL. But that was just great football to watch, if you ask me. Najee Harris got going. And once he got going, I was like, Alabama's going to wear these guys out. They only won by 6. But if you watch that game, you're like, holy crap. It was actually, the score shouldn't tell you how, actually, it wasn't really that close like the score tell you. But what people expected, I expected it to be a blowout, but Florida was going to fight. They fought. And I underestimated, their offense is really legit. Kadarius Toney, number one, killed Alabama. Couldn't find any matchups for him. They was putting him out the backfield, blind him at the slot, outside. He was just open every play, it seemed like. And also Grimes, number 8, he had a solid game. But Kyle Pitts, absolutely, they have Dylan Moses on him, and he couldn't check him. You put Surtain on him, he couldn't check him. These are like day one players that's supposed to be going in the NFL draft. And absolutely no one can check Kyle Pitts. 84, number one for Florida, got player of the game. They actually worked their butts off. But then Florida's whole game plan was to stop Najee Harris and, mostly important, a Heisman candidate, Devontae Smith. And it's like they was putting their whole defense on him. He still was getting open. I mean, this guy is special. And then picture if they had Jalen Waddle still. This team absolutely be loaded. It just shows that Alabama do not rebuild, they reload. So one player go down, they bring guys you never heard of, step in, and they make big plays in that game. True freshman on the defensive side for Alabama, number 31, I forget his last name, but he had a great game. They were getting pressure to Kyle Trask, but he gets the ball out so quick, it's hard to contain Kyle Trask. Really is. He's a really good player, and I have really good expectations for him in the future. Him and Mac Jones absolutely dueled it out. And that Florida, they get the Cotton Bowl, and I think they go against Oklahoma. That's going to be a really good game to watch, because Spencer Rattler is probably going to be the number one overall pick next year. His arm talent is like, I compare it to Patrick Mahomes. Like, his playing style is like Patrick Mahomes. Probably not his technical sound, which, if you want to keep it, you know, truthful, Mahomes isn't technical sound. He's just really talented. I just think that's Spencer Rattler. I think he's the next, like, if you put a guys in that Mahomes category, Spencer Rattler plays like a Patrick Mahomes. Once you get out the pocket, he's dangerous. He's in the pocket, he'd light you up. Fine open guys. This guy is a really good star in the making. And also, this Florida, I want to see how Oklahoma defense can they keep up with Florida's offense, and can their defense get some stops? Because we know Oklahoma can score. We've seen it against Texas. We've seen it last week against Iowa State in the Big 12. Well, Saturday against Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game, where they beat Iowa State. You know, Iowa State made a late comeback. But that was really, you know, a really good game to watch. Really entertaining. The Big 12 championship always is really entertaining. And also, another that the conference, I mean, American Athletic Championship game was actually interesting to watch, too, because Cincinnati and Tulsa came to play. They came to play. Cincinnati, I mean, they wanted to show people that they're legit. I think they are. And it shows that Cincinnati is going to be a really force to be messing with. They earned a New Year's Six bowl game, and they will be playing Georgia. This is going to be by far their biggest game in program history. I can't think of last time Cincinnati played, well, maybe Pitt, but that was when they was in the Big East. But this is a huge game for Luke Fickell and Cincinnati. If Cincinnati could beat Georgia, look out, because that's going to draw recruits that can get some better games when they schedule next year. But what a game this one should be. Really interesting to watch. Can Georgia defense control, can hold Desmond Ridder and that Cincinnati offense? And then you got JT Daniels really turn Georgia's offense around. So it's going to be really a really good, entertaining game to watch. Really entertaining game for that. I think that's the Fiesta Bowl on the day after New Year's or January. It was something like that. I'm gonna be tuned into a lot of college football. A lot of college football. And one team I think that really got fucked was Coastal Carolina. These guys played their asses off, 12-0, well, 11-0. I think they were 11-0, 12-1 of them. Only had one game canceled all year, and that was the conference championship game between them and Louisiana, because of the they had COVID at, you know, coronavirus at Coastal Carolina. Other than that, Coastal Carolina, you know, should have been in a way better, but they get that rematch against Liberty. I think they playing in the Independence Bowl, I believe. I might be wrong, but we could have got them in a New Year's Six Bowl. How insane that would have been to see Coastal Carolina take on Cincinnati instead of Georgia. You know, Texas A&M gets, if I'm not mistaken, A&M gets Florida. Or is it Oklahoma? Oh, is it A&M in Oklahoma? I got to check that, because either way, whoever, I'm pretty sure it's Florida, Oklahoma, and I forget who A&M gets. I gotta check, but that's gonna be interesting to watch. Really interesting to watch. Yeah, and the mortgage Cure Bowls, Coastal Carolina and Liberty. Yeah, I mean they kind of got screwed on that one. Louisiana got screwed as well. It's gonna be really good games, but I think A&M. I'm trying to remember who A&M gets. Yeah, it's Florida, Oklahoma. We know that. And Notre Dame. Oh, okay. Texas A&M getting North Carolina in the Orange Bowl. Okay, so yeah. Oh, man. That's going to be an absolutely great game to watch. Because Sam Howell is the second best. People can argue he's the best coming out next year. It's going to be him and Rattler going to be tearing it up in college next season. And then you got the old man Kellen Mond and Texas A&M, who really turned their year around once they lost to Bama. This is going to be some great games of football to watch. Really good games. Really good games. Now, this hopefully, you know, they can fix the college football system next year, put 8 teams in there, and, you know, work from there. Or they can just split it, like I said, a Power 5 championship and a Group of 5 championship. It makes sense, because you would never see Cincinnati going against Alabama in the college football playoff. It just will not happen. They would never have the resume for that unless they play like a ranked opponent every week, which, you know, Cincinnati probably would never win like that. So that's not fair to the smaller schools. But that's how I look at it. Maybe other people say, hey, who wants to see Cincinnati get their ass kicked against Alabama? That's my point. Put them in against the competition they deserve, and then we can talk. But switching over now to the NFL. Yesterday was eventful, and I want to start with how the Jets won their first game. But as a Jets fan, a lot of people is not really too excited that the Jets even won. You know, they went 23-20 over the Rams, a really sound, technically sound game. They played a really good game defensively and offensively. Sam Darnold looked like the Sam Darnold they drafted. You know, but many people are saying, I mean, now, you know, the big news is that now they technically lost the first pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who got blown out against the Ravens yesterday, 40-13. So, I mean, both teams are 1-15, but it's going to be really tanked to the death if you really want Trevor Lawrence. But maybe they know something we don't, and they believe that Sam Darnold is their future. And like I've been saying online, I think he has a good future. But I don't think it's going to be with the Jets. I really don't think they should keep him. I think they should just move on. I don't want them to ruin his career more than what they already have. You know, that, you know, that is what it is. But the Packers keep rolling. The Bills, Buccaneers. I mean, Brady does it again to the Falcons. Cowboys and stay alive because of the Washington loss to Seattle. I mean, they stay alive. The 49ers, well, the 49ers have been technically eliminated from the playoff hunt now. The Ravens stay alive. The Jets, the Rams would have been in the playoffs if they would have beat the Jets, for God's sake. But, I mean, the Cardinals stay alive and the Eagles stay alive because Washington lost. The Chiefs keep rolling. The Saints are going to be in the playoffs regardless. And the Browns, a team who sucked for the last, my whole lifetime, are 10-4. And if you came into the season and asked me, would the Browns be 10-4? I would have told you yes. If you watched my previous videos, I actually had the Browns going 12-4. So I'm almost at that mark of them going 12-4. And I actually had the Ravens finishing 10-6. Actually, no. I had the Ravens finish 14-2. I had the Steelers actually finish 6-10. But they shocked the world, too. Speaking of that, we're punting the ball to the Steelers right now. The Bengals and the Steelers just kicked off like 5 minutes ago. We suck. But really the big story is that the Patriots, the Dolphins, you know, snapped the 11-year-in-a-row streak for the Patriots of making the playoffs. It's sad, you know, for Bill Belichick, but he really didn't have much to work with. Cam Newton can't throw the ball to save his life anymore. So, yeah, I think that experiment is pretty done. But he did what he could, man. He did what he could. Same thing with Kyle Shanahan. He did what he could with that team was horrendous. The injuries. But, you know, they did what they can. But my thing is, you know, I'm a draft guru. I did a lot of mock drafts so far. And me personally, a lot of, like, if he was asked me 6-7 weeks ago how many teams going to need a quarterback in a draft, I would say maybe 3 or 4. But now it's a legitimate 10-11 teams in the NFL who might need a quarterback next season. Look at the Bears. I mean, Trubisky's been playing really good the last 2 games, and this is what they needed from him. I won't say really good, but he's doing enough for them to win. They're still alive in the playoff hunt at 7-7. You know, the Washington, Haskins looked terrible again yesterday. He might not even be in the league next year because he seemed like he just don't care. You look at Jacksonville, the Jets, the Eagles situation is fixable. The Saints might need, I mean, they don't know who's the hell going to be their quarterback of the future. And possibly the Giants. I mean, if you look at those teams, legitimately, they might need a quarterback for the future. The Panthers, Falcons, the Lions. I mean, I can name the Colts. You can name more. You know, the Patriots. No, I mean, these are teams no one expected to have quarterback issues going into next season. Some are bigger than others. But I think if he was to ask me this months ago, weeks ago, I would be like, you're lying. Give me 4 or 3 good teams that need a quarterback. I'll believe you. But not 11. And half the league pretty much needs a quarterback of the future. Even though the quarterback class this year might not be the greatest, though, you know, somebody's going to sign a veteran, do what they got to do. Carson Wentz might be available, so somebody's team's going to get a quarterback and not draft one. But it's going to be interesting to watch, really interesting to watch. Also, if you was to ask me 6 weeks ago how many head coaches would be getting fired, I'll tell you Jets, Lions, Jaguars. Surprise, surprise. Falcons, Texans, Jaguars, Jets, which they haven't fired a head coach yet. The Chargers, who else? I wouldn't be surprised the Bengals fired their head coach. I mean, the Lions got rid of their head coach. So, I mean, that shows you that, you know, some people are fed up. Even the Eagles reports that they might be done with Howie Roseman and with Doug Peterson. Be shocking, but you never know in the NFL. You never know. So I think, you know, this offseason, which they call Black Monday, which is coming up really soon, the second day of the year, January 2nd, it's going to be really sad because a lot of head coaches are going to get fired and GMs are going to get fired. And it'll be interesting to see who makes the first big signing of the next coach in the NFL. We're going to take a quick little break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the NBA starting tomorrow, what to expect from some of these young guys out here, the rookies, my prediction for the season before the season starts, and just talk a little bit about the James Harden situation. EM Sports Talk, we'll be right back. Welcome back to EM Sports Talk, and I just want to talk a little about, before I get into my predictions for the season and, you know, NBA starts tomorrow, I want to talk about the James Harden situation. And many people are different sides of this. Like, yeah, I understand where Harden coming from. He haven't won anything in Houston. I think it's bullshit because they have consistently tried to put a great team around him. They tried Chris Paul. They tried Russell Westbrook. They tried Dwight Howard. It just haven't been successful. Now they're trying with John Wall. And I think really this is his last chance this season. He wants to request a trade, but who really wants to give up their future for a guy who cannot play with other guys? It just won't work. I think he's stuck in Houston because he gets paid a lot and also because the way he plays is never going to win a championship. So I think James Harden's situation is just over. It's just stupid. The guy was late to training camp. He gained weight. You know, he doesn't look like the same James Harden. The season starts tomorrow night. And James Harden does not look great. Does not look great at all. John Wall looked like he's been working his ass off. And as he should, he haven't played in a year and a half. But I think this James Harden situation, I think they should just keep him in Houston. I think it's really selfish of him, though, to do what he's doing. He's acting like an asshole. Quite frankly, that's exactly what he's doing. And they're not going to sit around with the new GM, new coach. They're not going to let him bitch them around and do what he wants. He has to stop being a drama queen and play basketball. He's not there to negotiate a super team. I want to go here. You're there to win in the city you're in. And that's the problem with the NBA. They give their players too much leverage on the control of the team. In the NFL, you don't really hear stories talking about, oh, well, Big Ben wanted to trade for, Dalvin Cook, and we wanted to get a corner, or I want to leave. No, that's why the NBA is always better, superior than the NBA, because of stupidity with one of the biggest superstars in the league like that. He's basically demanding you give me this player, that player, or I'm leaving, or trade me. And then that's just not how sports work. It's a business, but it's also they own you. Let's just keep it truthful. And James Harden wants to be so defiant and, oh, let me go to Brooklyn and there and there. You're not going to win in Brooklyn. Anywhere he goes, he's not going to win because nobody wants to play with him. And I'm sorry, James. You're a great player, going to be a Hall of Famer, but you will never win an NBA championship unless you know how to play with others. Play as a team. That's what I want to get into. And tomorrow, the NBA season is finally back. Seemed like we just ended, which we did in July or whatever, June, July, August, one of them. And it's really good. And as I'm talking about basketball, the Bengals are on Pittsburgh's 10-yard line about to score, watching the game now. But the NBA is going to be really great this season, but hopefully we can see some good games. And I got some guys to look out for to start this season. I think LaMelo Ball is going to be an absolute superstar with the Hornets. They finally drafted someone that is a face of their franchise, besides Kemba Walker. I really do believe that Kevin Durant and Irving is going to make a real big run to the NBA championship. This season? I think it's going to be really interesting to see that. The Clippers are overrated, in my opinion, again, and they just gave George a lot of money. But guys to look out for, to me, LaMelo Ball, Lonzo Ball, and not because they're brothers, but Lonzo, this is his year to prove to people that he's worth. He's coming up on a contract year. Reports saying earlier today he's not probably not going to reach a deal yet until the offseason. He's going to be a restricted free agent. So he got to show people why they took him number two overall. Why are you a $80 million player in this league? His jump shot has to improve. I think it will. His passion is there. His defense is there. He just got to improve as a scorer. And once Lonzo Ball learned how to score like he did at UCLA, I think he'll be a really good point guard, top 10 point guard in the NBA. Another guy to look out for is Jason Tatum. All right. Jason Tatum is an absolute superstar. We all know this. But it's time for him to take that jump in Boston. Every year they come up short. Last couple years they've been coming up short, even in the semis, the Eastern Conference semifinals or the Eastern Conference finals. They have to break that jump and get to the NBA finals. He's a star, superstar, like Luka Doncic has to do the same. But he has to put his team on his back and get them to the next round. Get him over the hump. The Raptors finally did it when we got Kawhi. It's time for Jason Tatum and the Celtics to finally get over the hump. And I think they're my Eastern Conference favorites this year. And every year I say the Raptors. But this year I think the Raptors are going to have a little fall off because we don't have Ibaka. We did get Van Vliet back, but we did lose Ibaka. We lost Marc Gasol. But I think this is going to be a really good year for Chris Boucher to step up. That's another guy you can look out for. And also, this is a big year for Van Vliet. 4-year, $85 million deal. This is to show, hey, Kyle Lowry retires or when he finally retires, this is going to be my team. And I think I believe in him. It's going to be really interesting with that. But for the playoffs and things like that, I'm really projecting Celtics to finally make that push, get to the finals this year. They're going to have a great battle with the Celtics, the Nets in the playoffs. The Raptors, again, that was one of the greatest playoff series of all time last year. In the conference quarterfinals, one of them. The Celtics will make that push. And also, I think the Lakers will be there. But I think the Dallas Mavericks make a huge jump this year and will probably prevail and get to the NBA Finals. Maybe people might say these are some wild, suggestions because the Brooklyn Nets are back fully healthy. But the Boston Celtics are a dangerous team. They got so much team chemistry. They kind of remind me of that Raptors team going into 2019 when we won the championship. I think this is their year. I think Boston can finally get back to the finals, and they're going to be playing the Dallas Mavericks. Really believe in Luka. Porzingis, if he can stay healthy. This is going to be a really good year for basketball. Really interesting to watch. And I also want to talk a little about hockey because, they just finalized their season today, 56-game season. They realigned the divisions for this year because of the Canadian travel rule where they cannot travel, like American teams cannot travel into Canada. So they're playing, they split all 30 teams in NHL, 31 teams into these divisions. And you got an all-Canadian division so they can just stay in Canada. And they will play no other team but the teams in their division. 8 times or 9 to 10 times. So, hey, I'm all for it as long as we can see some hockey, And the Caps, we heard that Lundqvist is not playing this year because of a heart condition. So Samsonov has to step up big this year. And we have to, it's going to be weird not seeing us play Tampa Bay. They got moved to the West, pretty much. The Central Division, people call it. Yeah. Interesting to see that. But NBA starts tomorrow. Next week, Christmas is Friday. We got football Friday on Christmas. Some bowl games for college this week. So, everybody stay safe from this virus. Hopefully everything clears up soon, EM Sports Talk, episode 23, we out. Everybody stay safe. Tell someone you love them. Have a good night.